give you a warm word of welcome today to the Lord's house. We're glad that you are here. And if you are in person or viewing online, we trust that our worship together would be for the glory of God and the refreshment of our spirits. And we have a great hymn of the faith to start with today. To God be the glory, great things He hath done. Let's stand and lift our voices to the Lord in praise. Let's come to the Lord now with these thanksgivings upon our heart and worship to Him. And let's bow before the Lord now, please, in prayer. Our gracious God and our loving Father, with joy in our hearts, we have come to give praise and thanksgiving, to lift up the name of Christ Jesus, that name that is above every other name, to exalt, Father, thy holy name for all that you have done for us, Lord, for all we have received freely from the gracious hand of our loving Father. We are not worthy, Lord, of the least of blessings, and yet to us the very greatest has been given, the gift of forgiveness of sin, the knowledge that we have a home in heaven, the certainty that Christ is coming back again to receive us to himself, and that we will be forever with the Lord. Amen. So let it be. Dear God, until that time comes, we ask once more that we would be found faithful in the service of the Master, that we would be kept from temptation, from discouragement, from grieving the Spirit of God, that we would walk, Lord, in the center of your perfect will. Please, Lord, watch over our pathway. Keep us from foolish decisions and things that would bring dishonor instead of glory unto the Lord. Dear God, watch over us today. How thankful we are for everyone gathered in the house of prayer and praise, and for those watching online. Encourage and bless each one. We know several here who have recently been bereaved. And Lord, we are thankful for the grace that has been evident in their lives and for how you have given help in their time of need. Lord, continue to supply that need, we pray, for those who are weak and sick, those who have recently come through surgery. We pray for Reverend Kim today that you would speed the recovery from his surgery this past week. We pray for Dr. McClellan that you would put your hand upon him and bless him in his own health needs. We think of other elderly ones that are not able to be in the house today. Father, pour out mighty blessing upon them. Encourage them. Lift them up. Bless them abundantly. Dear Lord, today we do give thanks for our brother George and sister Linda. And as we mark today retirement from the active work of God here in the church and school, in those areas that they have been so dedicated to, Lord, we pray a blessing upon them, blessing upon their family. Lord, you would go in front of them for whatever doors of opportunity and service open as they continue in the service of Christ. Dear Lord, hear our prayers. Remember today the people in Afghanistan. Remember the church there, Lord. Faithful Christians and believers that are under intensified trouble today. Lord, be their protection. Be their guide and guard. And I pray that they will be yet a light to shine in a dark place. Help, we pray, in many similar desperate situations where Christians are under great persecution and the world is in turmoil. Oh God, we pray, looking forward to that day of the coming of the Prince of Peace and the setting up, oh God, of the everlasting kingdom where there will be peace for all eternity. Lord, hear our prayer today. Encourage our hearts. Give us open and many opportunities of speaking a word for the Savior by our lips or by our life. We will show forth all the wonders and splendors of our great salvation. Hear our prayer today. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's please continue in our worship now. Psalm 145, and we'll stand again to worship. Would you turn, please, with me now in your Bibles to the book of Revelation, chapter 15. Revelation, chapter 15. This will tie into the message that I want to share with you later in the service, and dealing here with the Song of Moses and how that was so relevant in Exodus 15, as it is also recorded here in Revelation 15. And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues. For in them is filled up the wrath of God. And I saw as it were a sea of glass mingled with fire. And them that had gotten the victory over the beast and over his image and over his mark and over the number of his name stand on the sea of glass having the harps of God. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. We shall not fear thee, O Lord. We shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name, for thou only art holy. For all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest. And after that I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was opened. The seven angels came out of the temple, having the seven plagues, clothed in pure and white linen, and having their breasts girded with golden girdles. And one of the four beasts gave unto the seven angels seven golden vials full of the wrath of God, who liveth forever and ever. And the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power. And no man was able to enter into the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were fulfilled. May God bless his own holy word to our hearts today as we have read. Well, again, let me say a word of warm welcome to you all into our service today. We're glad that you are here. And it's the first opportunity that I have had of welcoming some folks that have recently been bereaved, as I was away for a few weeks and then they were able to come. And our sister Norma, I'm very happy, Norma, that you're here today, and our prayers continue for you in this time of your bereavement. And our sister Grace is here with us today, and we are praying for you. And Lisa, it's good to see you today as well. And we hold you up in the recent loss of our dear brother Tony. And also we have Sister B with us today in the loss of Mrs. Sushila, her mom, not long ago. And is it Jessica? Yes, Jessica, you're welcome here today as well. And, well, we have had too many, if we could put it this way. Our sister Ann Rogerson lost her mom just a couple of weeks ago. And too many, we say, have been down that road. But yet, I am just thankful to the Lord for the great grace he has given to the families and to each one of you. And our prayers continue to hold up all in the name of the Lord. We do also pray for our brother Chris Kim today as he's recovering from surgery he had this past week. And we want to hold up him, remember. Good to see Ted and Isabel here today as well, too. We've been thinking of our brother Ted and the needs he has physically at the same time. Let me ask you, please, to remember the necessary ministry that will be happening in this incoming week as we really begin again the fall program with our Whitfield Christian School's staff orientation that will take place Monday and Tuesday of this week, and then school starting the following Tuesday. I ask again for your ongoing prayers for our school administration and all the organization that goes into preparation. The Lord will help our teaching staff as they make preparations, and the uncertainty of what will happen once school starts for in-person classes, and knowing how that's going to unfold, we need much help from the Lord and much protection from God watching over our school ministry. Do please remember that. Our services for the rest of today, this afternoon, our prayer time at 5:50 on downstairs in our prayer room and also on Zoom, and then our service 6:30. And please remember also this incoming week on Wednesday night, we have our prayer meeting and Bible study at 7:30, and there will be a Sunday school's teachers meeting after on Wednesday evening after the prayer meeting in person. And so I ask you please to remember that. Also, we are looking forward to the recommencement not only of Sunday school in October, and looking forward to Good News Bible Club. We'll be giving you an update just on the timing for that and a meeting for the Good News Bible Club staff that will be announced. I was also going to share with you some of the vital statistics we've received from Sermon Audio for Behind the Wall, our children's ministry program. I want to say again a word of thanks to Daniel and Rebecca Siman for their work. They have now finished today, I believe, is the 10th message over the summertime for the boys and girls, looking at the Ten Commandments, and I trust that they have been a blessing to you boys and girls, and there have been encouraging statistics of the outreach of Behind the Wall, and tonight in the evening service, I'll share some of those with you. I want to say a word of thanks also to the many folks who have been working very hard over the summertime. Men from our board, others in the congregation have been working very, very hard in order to prepare and work on the property and the buildings. Lots of maintenance work that has to be done, and we're very, very thankful for all of those things. Well, today marks one of those occasions where we can give thanks, and yet it is mixed with a tinge of sadness as we think about people retiring from their ministry and work. And today we take the occasion of honoring our brother George and sister Linda as they will be retiring from George from the business management position of our church and school, and Linda as the assistant to the business manager. And so what we'd like to do, I've asked Dr. McClellan if he would come and share some comments and some reflections on our brother's ministry. So that will take place today, and I'm going to come down in just a moment and set up the pulpit down there. It'll be easier for our brother to come and speak and share a few things. And then we have a presentation for our brother George today, this morning. And then tonight, after the evening service, we're having a fellowship time, and that will be outside under the canopy. And we invite you to come and be with us. We have sealed cupcakes and sealed refreshments for you. And you'd be very, very welcome to come and stay behind, and if you feel comfortable about doing that. At that time, we'll be making a presentation to our sister Linda, and also a smaller gift to our brother George as well. But this time, we're going to ask Dr. McClellan to come and first of all share some things.
When Toronto Free Presbyterian Church started in July 4th, 1976, most of the original members were getting on in years. In other words, they're a bit long in the tooth. One of the exceptions was George Robinson, and George was a young man who had emigrated a few years earlier from Fermanagh in Northern Ireland. In the early days of our church, We had a contact in Montreal, and George and I would go there to conduct services on a monthly basis that were held in one of the homes up in that city. Sometimes we'd go by train, and mostly we would go in George's Ford Capri. And George loved that car, and he was duly proud of it. George loved and does love classical music, and he used to soothe my frazzled nerves with playing the Song of the Hebrew Slaves. It's a beautiful piece written by Giuseppe Verdi in his piece called Nabucco. And Giuseppe Verdi, that's a very nice romantic name. Giuseppe Verdi. The only thing is, when you put it into English, it means Joe Green. By the way, it wasn't George's driving that frazzled my nerves, although there was one occasion where it might have, but we will not talk about that today. You can talk to George and he'll tell you all about that. One of the first tasks as a young church was to form a church board, and George was put onto that board. And the original treasurer of our work was John McComb, who's now gone to be with the Lord. And John, he wanted to stand down, and so he stood down from the position of treasurer, and George got the job. I'm not sure whether George knew what he was letting himself in for, because at the beginning we had as a congregation about $5,000. Now that was a nice little amount of money to move around and to work with, and George had that $5,000. But soon, with the church burgeoning and the school growing, that he's now handling numbers on six figures, millions, seven figures in the work of the treasurer or board man. But the school and the church at the present time currently employs around 40 people, and keeping track of the salary details of that is not easy, and not to mention the government income tax laws and so on, and all the other stuff that the government likes to press upon churches. So George found himself with a very, very considerable work to do, and we appreciate his labour of love. I'm old enough to remember the early days of computers, and George was able to put our system, our financial system, onto line, and that itself was quite an experience and quite an achievement, so we appreciate that. Now, when George first came to Canada, he had been employed with a prominent retail clothing store chain, and he had risen to quite a prominent position. In 1991, a promotion was on the cards, a major promotion was on the cards, and the time demands of that particular job were such that George knew that if he took it on, he would have to relinquish the work in the church and in the school. And so he made it a matter of prayer and prayed that the Lord would guide, and the Lord speedily answered, and George was felt led to leave the job that he had, and he became our business manager. In the meantime, George was made an elder in 1989. The Lord told Adam, "It is not good for man to be alone." And he must have told that to George too, because George went in the trail of a young lady, And we expected here that he would fall to the blandishments of one of our resident beauties. But we were all surprised because George took off for Ireland, for the south of Ireland, for Cavan, and there he met Linda Tweedy, and there he married her, and they became husband and wife. At least he did the wise thing, because he brought her back here, and where Linda has been a valuable asset to our congregation for these many years. I find it hard to think that George and Linda have actually come to retirement age, that to me they're still young things, but I'm glad to take this opportunity to wish them a long and a happy retirement. During his long and illustrious time with us, George has, according to the Word of God, stuck by the stuff, and his labours and Linda's work, they have been much appreciated by the congregation here in Toronto.
You know, it's never an easy thing to sum up a life of ministry and service with such a few amount of words. And to recognize the honor and honor a brother who has been very faithful in his labors for the cause of Christ, both in our church and in our school, over a period of 46 years. The school started in 1989, and from that time, our brother took on board willingly the responsibility of the management of the school ministry. And it has now gone far beyond that of the church itself. It is a huge work. And as Dr. McClellan has said, in 1976, when the Free Church started here in Toronto, he took up that responsibility of being the manager, the treasurer of the work, with a very small bank balance. Well, as the work has developed and grown, it has increased in the burden responsibility tremendously. And so in 1991, when our brother felt the call of God to come into the work and leaving his secular employment, it was in one sense at a sacrifice of pay, but on the other hand, he will testify himself how the Lord has richly rewarded him in many, many other ways, far beyond even financial things. So now in the school and church, we have over 40 employees that require attention with payrolls and health plans. And then on top of all that, we have the government changing declarations and things that have to be seen to, and reading volumes of material from the government to sort them out. All of those things are very, very taxing. But our brother has been faithful to the work of God. And during these 46 years, you know, many Christian schools have fallen by the wayside because the accounting expertise was not there. Keeping very close account of all the record keeping was not seen to as it should have been. But our brother has kept meticulous details and has been very careful to always be sure that both the church and the school are on track for the accounts. And in all the expenditures by the direction of the board, he has kept very faithfully to that. And that is much, much appreciated. So, brother, we say to you with all our hearts today a thanksgiving to the Lord for his purpose and providence in bringing you here and bringing you and Linda together as husband and wife. This past summer, they marked 40 years, their 40th wedding anniversary. So that's another milestone that they have passed as well. And we acknowledge that, and we want to pay tribute today in a very small way that we can, and know that, want you to know that your labor has been much appreciated in the Lord. We want to take this opportunity, the board, in presenting a monetary recognition of this special day of tribute, and also a plaque. So, Brother George, I wonder if you would come up here at this time. Let me read out this plaque for the congregation's benefit and for yours as well. August 29th, 2021, presented to our esteemed brother, Mr. George Robinson, from the session, board, members, and adherents of Toronto Free Presbyterian Church, with appreciation and thankfulness for your faithful service for the cause of Christ in our church, school, and denomination during these 45 years, 1976-2021. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, Hebrews 6 and verse 10. So, brother, let me give that to you, and you can also please take that as well. Yes.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, brother. You going to say a few words, brother?
I guess it would be very unusual if I didn't have something to say. At these times, you wrestle with what should you say and what should you not say. So some of my, thank you, Dr. McLennan, for those memories. And I'm keenly aware of the time, and I wrote down some things. I knew something was cooking. How did I know? When Mahar asked me a few weeks ago some curious questions, and I got a feeling that he finally got to the point. He says, I need something from you. Don't sign it. He just needed to know who had the signing authority in the church. I think he knew. So we finally got around that one. So, but I knew something was happening, but I have no idea even at this very moment what you have done as a board. I just want to bring a few points here. I guess you could say in life there are certain key points, and some of those have been addressed already. My wife is pointing to me I should take this off. Now you get to understand a little bit of how we work together. You see, there's no boss. She works with me and I work with her. And before the Lord, he's in charge, so we make sure that we don't raise our voices very much. Rarely ever have done that to each other, and that's the blessing of the Lord. Some of you have, here, I've departed from my notes already, some of you have already experienced a little bit of that when you come up to the office and sit there for an hour or so and engage with us. I'm looking at Duncan right here. Duncan has done that. He did that on one occasion, and his poor wife was calling him, and he didn't hear her voice. And she was down here, and her voice was rather feeble. And Duncan, he heard about it later. But, you know, I think some of you have seen us work together a little bit, and actually, it's an amazing thing to work in one room for 30 years and look at each other every so often and still not get fed up with each other. And also, we knew at times that we needed to take an hour or so and do some other church business away from the office. So in those things, the Lord has been very gracious to us, and we have been able to do that. We were acutely aware that we're husband and wife, and so we made sure that you guys, and there was checks and balances to what we were doing. So, but the Lord has brought us to this point in time. Yeah, it's time. Time has rolled around, and we come to the time when we have to consider others to take our positions. And yes, some people said, why should you retire now? I can tell you the reason why. I have a long list of things that I have to do at home. And when I come home from this work, I'm too exhausted to do it. Used not to be the case. So I realize that I'm getting older. And so comes a time when you don't want to keep dropping the ball on a number of projects. And so the time has arrived. I want to read you a quote that an uncle of mine who was a missionary in Brazil, my uncle Wesley, who just passed away a couple of years ago at 96. And he left me this quotation from Shakespeare, from Julius Caesar. And I think it sums up a few instances in my life. But I think there's very wise words, and then I'll come to the scripture. I quote, "There is a tide in the affairs of men, which, taken at the flood, leads on to fortune. Omit it, all the voyage of their life is bound in shallows and in miseries. On such a full sea are we now afloat, and we must take the current when it serves, or lose our ventures." In 1972, that's when I was just 18, I launched out on an opportunity given to me by my uncle, who still is alive, my Uncle George. I was named after him. He still is living here in Canada. And it was also an arrangement between my mum and him that I would have an opportunity to come after I finished high school to come out to visit Canada and see how I would like it. I'm still here. And my mother's intentions, my uncle's intentions, and my intentions were all changed within a few years of me being here. One of the first things I did before I emigrated, because I was saved at the age of 10, I asked my current minister, Reverend Aaron Foster, what church would he recommend for me when I come to Toronto? I had no idea. There were two churches. There was Jarvis Street Baptist Church, and then he gave me, because I was a country lad, another option, because that was rather intimidating to me, a large church in the downtown Toronto. He gave me the other option, and that was a little church on Cosburn Avenue, a mission church of the Bible Presbyterian Church. So I decided to go there. It was a little decision. Within a few months, when I arrived there, I was thrust into some responsibility, into the board of that little church. And so I had some duties given to me right away to assist the envelope secretary, Hugh Darragh. And so I started immersing myself in that little work. But they were all senior citizens, basically. And I came from a church with 50 or 60 young people, all about my own age. And I came into this desert. And that was for 3 years, 4 years, it was the trial of my testimony. And I was so privileged to be part of that little board meeting in 1974 when we put out the call to Dr. McLennan to come to be our pastor. That gave me hope and a purpose, and that was a signal from the Lord where he wanted me to be. Even though I had left 3 brothers and 2 sisters, all younger than me, that was a big pull back to my homeland. And so from then on, the Lord has guided me and directed me. And then when I came into the full-time ministry of this work, I remember leaving my employment down, I worked in for Dialex, which has now disappeared altogether, a large division of different retail empires. I was giving presentations to all the CEOs of the various divisions on new software that we're going to employ. And the challenge to me was, was I going to accept this, but my life was going to change. Yeah, I was going to have a very good job, good prospects, but I would have to give up something. And then that's when my heart was changed. It took about 6 months or so, or a year, and then I remember on July the 4th, Independence Day, I remember very clearly walking back from the park that was beside my workplace, and it was like a flash of lightning. That's it. I'm finished with this. I knew where to come. And so here we are, 30, from that time, 30, how many years? 33 years. My math is getting a little scrambled now. But altogether, I have been involved in this work, as you've heard, 45 years, and then 4 years prior to that in preparation. And so I think I've entered into now my jubilee of rest. The numbers have lined up. But I'm not going to disappear. So I'm going to be still an elder, still with this congregation. So for some of you, things won't really change. When we have our board meetings, we have our finance meetings, we will still be there to help. I had a long learning curve. My Jonathan Rajaratnam and Eric Delina now will have a short learning curve. And so I realize that they will need your prayers. We're thankful be able to say the Lord has helped us these last couple of years as we changed our whole accounting system to an online system. And the legacy system now is now parked. And so we've made that transition. That was, I would say, these last 2 years were the greatest challenge in my life as regards the mental challenges and the learning curve, especially at this stage of life. And the Lord has helped and brought us through. And then COVID came, and it has also added its changes. And so, again, the Lord has helped. And the Lord will help those that follow on after us. And so I want to thank you very much for these kind expressions on behalf of my wife. Now, she's not going to, I don't know what you've cooked up for this evening, but she's not one to speak in public. She'll speak plenty in private. So will I, in private and in public. So I will speak on her behalf that it has been a pleasure to be involved in this work. The Lord has called us into it. He's given us a signal that it's time for us to step aside, but we're still involved in the work, and I have much work still to do. I will be still doing presbytery work. I will be still helping a few other churches in the minor capacities, and so I don't intend to stop dead. That's an invitation to stop dead, and to it's not good for your health. But I am enjoying, I'm looking forward to getting a break over this next year to try to force some time off. I'm looking forward to seeing my parents, which I haven't seen for 2 years, my aged parents, in October. And so hopefully the Lord will be able to make that way possible for us to do that. But thank you very much. Thank you, Larry, for these last how many years we've worked together in the school, and to Jill now in the principalship. I remember Ruth Slade, I worked with her and with Lee. So I have had a lot of experience working with different people. I've learned much. I've got much now to share with others. And we thank the Lord above all that I think of this Psalm 92 and verse 4. For the Lord hath made me glad through his work, or thy work. I will triumph in the works of thy hands, O Lord. How great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. We give thanks unto the Lord for all of this, and we pray that the Lord will bless much in the years that lie ahead. Thank you.
Thank you, brother, for those heartfelt comments. And we acknowledge and give thanks to the Lord, and we'll continue to keep both of you and your family much in our prayers. I've asked the clerk of our session, Mr. James Fraser, to come and just commit the family to the Lord, please, in prayer.
Let us pray. O Lord our God, we acknowledge before thee that thou art the one who art the keeper of Israel, that slumberest not nor sleepest, the one who has promised, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And we give thee thanks, Lord, at this time for the life of George and Linda, and for their service for thee, and for their faithfulness in serving thee for these many years. We acknowledge, Lord, that thou art the one that hast provided, and thou hast given us more than we could even ask for, and exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. And Lord, we pray for thy special blessing to rest upon George and Linda. We pray that thou wouldst keep them in thy fear, and that thou wouldst be with them and bless them as they continue to serve thee. We pray these things in our Savior's precious name. Amen.
Please turn with me now in your Bibles to the book of Exodus, chapter 15. Exodus 15. These times of recognition, they take, well, preparation. And yet they come and they go very quickly. But they are precious moments, precious opportunities for us to reflect and to give thanks to the Lord. God has done great things for us. He has brought along the right people at the right time, because it's not our work, it's His work. And if we can be of any use in His work, then we are doubly blessed, because God has been willing to make use of us. And so we thank God for raising up our brother and sister to this very, very important work that they have done. And we ask you to please keep in prayer those ones who are coming along now after, that they will be given much wisdom, much grace, and the spirit and power of the Lord to continue on in the work that they have to do. Exodus chapter 15. Now, I am sure that some of you might be looking at your watch. Well, just turn your watch backwards and forget about it. No, I won't keep you, because the message that I wanted to bring today, this morning, was actually going to be in two parts, part one today and part two tonight. So let me share with you an introduction for the message today, and then we will continue on tonight. In the theme of the song of Moses, the song of Moses. But let's read Exodus 15, the first 10 verses. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song. He is become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him an habitation, my father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his host hath he cast into the sea. His chosen captains also are drowned in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them. They sank into the bottom as a stone. Thy right hand, O Lord, is become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, hath dashed in pieces the enemy. And in the greatness of thine excellency, thou hast overthrown them that rose up against thee. Thou sentest forth thy wrath, which consumed them as stubble. And with the blast of thy nostrils, the waters were gathered together. The floods stood upright as an heap, and the depths were congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil. My lust shall be satisfied upon them. I will draw my sword, my hand shall destroy them. Thou didst blow with thy wind. The sea covered them. They sank as lead in the mighty waters. May God bless his word to us. Let's ask for his help now. Father, I pray that in the remaining moments of our meeting today, that we would be very much aware the Spirit's help to understand the Scripture, that we will gather up the fragments that so often we can leave behind by neglect or by our own inability. We want understanding, Father. We pray for the application of the Holy Spirit to our hearts. Teach us in the way that we are to go. Hear our prayer now and give us truly a heart of worship to our great God. For we pray in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Verse 1 is going to be used as a text for today and a launching pad. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord. And they spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. By the events that led up to this detailed hymn of praise in Exodus 15, it was really the culmination of over 400 years of slavery. Generations of Israelites had suffered the rigor and hard bondage of the Egyptian overlords. When God called Moses to lead them out of Egypt, things got worse, and Pharaoh increased the workload, requiring the same quota of bricks without supplying the straw. The Jews were not too happy about this, and they wondered, what kind of deliverer is this that's making things more difficult, increasing our burden? So much pent-up emotion in the Israelite heart. So many prayers had been offered over 40 decades of deliverance, of help from God. Was there any hope of them being released? Was there any hope that one day they would be free men, able to worship God as they so desired to do? To serve the Lord who was their God? Yes, the Lord was unfolding his detailed plan for his people to follow him to a place they would call home, to a place they would be able to worship freely, where God would dwell with them and they would dwell with him. But the final steps leading to their freedom would show powerfully to the nation of Egypt that God was the sovereign ruler of all things. And as Pharaoh's heart was hardened, each plague increased with intensity until the final one of the death of the firstborn, especially in the face of the man who had raised his fist before God, Pharaoh, saying, Who is the Lord that I should obey him? Pharaoh would learn who the Lord was. But he would learn the hard way. He would not learn the way of willing submission. He would learn the way of absolute and necessary submission. But it was not long until after Israel had been released that his heart was yet more hardened. And he prepared his armies to chase Israel, boxing them in at the Red Sea. Pharaoh thought he had won the day. He thought he was going to recover his spoil, lift the sword, recover the slaves. And his armies chased them into the opening that God had made through the sea. Pharaoh thought the day was his. But God had made a way for his people when there was no way. He had opened the sea for their salvation. But the very path of salvation for one became terror to their enemies. What a picture of God saving his own and at the same time destroying all his enemies. And from this silhouette, we see a greater salvation that our Lord has prepared. And we as God's children do well to follow in the example of heart praise and of solemn worship to the one who brought us out of darkness and into the freedom of the sons and daughters of God. I want to look today in this two-part message. I want to look at the song of Moses, and I pray its truth will be amplified and echo forth from our hearts in songs of true thanksgiving to God, in praise to the one who has done all this for us. The song of Moses. What has God done for his people? The first thing I want you to think with me about today is this: the reason for this worship. The reason for this worship. God delivered them from their enemy. God delivered them from their enemy. And I say that in the singular. Oh, there were many enemies out of Egypt. But ultimately and behind it all, there was only one enemy that they had. Many thought it would be impossible in Israel, a dream never to be fulfilled. But then the morning came, the morning after the Passover had been eaten. They were all dressed and ready. They had slept in their clothes that night. Their shoes were on. Their luggage was packed. And they quickly assembled themselves, joining a massive caravan of old and young, and they were exiting Egypt. They had spoiled the Egyptians by taking gold and silver and precious things from them before they went. In fact, the Egyptians gave it to them, hurrying them out. But you know, as the saying goes, it often is the darkest before the dawn. And in this case, it was true. The impossible obstacle of the Red Sea. They were boxed in by the armies of Pharaoh. The Lord gave them a short reprieve, causing the cloud to come up between them, and the forces of Pharaoh's army could not come any further until God would show his hand. And an all-powerful hand it was. What a miracle. He caused the waters by his own breath to be divided. And the word congealed means they coagulated. The waters stood up, and it's almost that they were frozen in their place. And these tremendous words are used throughout this chapter. Captivating expressions are given in verses 2 and 13 and 17, and these words, "He has become my salvation." Thou hast redeemed. Thou hast purchased. Why, you would have to say these are evangelical terms. These are certainly New Testament terms of salvation, of being born again, of regeneration, and that's exactly what is being intended here. Yes, Moses was speaking about God's saving grace, about the great redemption that the Lord would bring to His people and how they had been purchased, redeemed from the slave market of their own sin. Deliverance had finally come. They were free from the clutches of Pharaoh, a striking type of Satan himself. My friends, this is a vivid picture of our salvation today. Salvation from the devil's power, salvation from the devil's prison. We who were slaves by our own sin, slaves unto death, slaves held captive by the evil one, we were doomed to a lost eternity. Every single person in this building and church today, you know, friend, that outside of Christ Jesus, we are lost. And lost forever and forever, never to be released from the prison of sin and death. And yet, Christ Jesus has come, our great deliverer, our great Savior. Oh, we were not in a place that we could boast of until the Holy Spirit revealed to us our own sin and the only remedy for that. And our eyes beheld the cross of our Lord Jesus. And there we beheld the one who suffered and took the wrath of God upon himself so that we would be released from our prison house of sin. And our sins were washed away. Redemption was ours. We have been purchased with a great price. And what is that price? It is the price of the blood of the Son of God that was shed for us, rebels and sinners that we are. And yet God, in His great mercy, has loved me, and Christ has given Himself for me. Oh, what a wonderful day. Oh, what a day when the wonderful change transpired within us. And we were taken from the desperation of our own prison. And we were brought, friend, out of our darkness and into the light and the liberty of the sons of God. We were given eternal life more abundantly than anything we could have imagined. It is eternity for us. Eternity not separated from God, but eternity with the Lord. This is your inheritance, friend. Can you remember that day when you were saved? Think back and muse in your mind. Consider the deep pit from which you have been delivered, and, friend, at what cost? And when the truth sinks down and, let us say, grips our souls with fresh power, will we not praise God from all our souls, with all our hearts? And as the hymn writer said, "Come, sing, my soul, and praise the Lord, who hath redeemed thee by His blood, delivered thee from chains that bound, and brought thee to redemption ground." And how and why? It is all because of the grace of God that has delivered us. It was not because Israel was more worthy than any other nation. It was not because they were mightier or stronger. We see them in their weakness in Egypt. No, it's because the Lord set His love upon them, just as He set His love, my dear friend, upon us today. We have received blessing upon blessing. So great salvation has God brought to us. I ask you today, friend, have you entered in to such a full and free salvation? Have you received Christ as your Redeemer? I speak to you if you are a young person here today. I speak to you not as being an adult yet, but perhaps in those developing years of adolescence. Where is your heart with God today? Is your heart as hard like stone as Pharaoh's heart? Do you inside lift your little fist to God and say, "Who is the Lord that I should obey Him or follow Him?" Do you know where that spirit will lead you, my friend? That spirit will lead you to hell. That spirit will lead you away farther from God than ever before. Don't think you're smart in your smart attitude. No, do not take that up in your heart. But if there is even the smallest seed of that today, come to the Lord now and repent of your sin. Come to the Lord now and seek Him with all your heart. Come to the Lord and do not be as Pharaoh did, hardened in your heart. Because, friend, that's what happens. You know, once you've been presented with the gospel time and time and time again, and you've heard the message before, maybe from a pastor, maybe from a friend, maybe from a mother or father, and yet you still say, "No, I will not have God in my life. I want to live it my way." And the years slowly creep on. We've been speaking about our brother's retirement after 46 years of service. And I'm sure he would testify and look back that those years, they have seen in some respects just as yesterday. They have gone so quickly. And you and your rebellion, if you continue on, your life will move past 5 years, 10 years, 20 years. And you will become more and more hardened in your own sin. Is that what you want? Is that the direction you think you will go? You will end up just like Pharaoh. And you will pursue right into the waters of the Red Sea. And one day the judgment of God will come. And those waters will close upon your soul. And you will be separated from God for all eternity. At that point, friend, you will have no song of thanksgiving to sing to God. You will have no song of worship or praise. You will only have eternity of regret in hell. Do not play fast and loose with God. Do not despise the strivings of God within your heart. Do not keep putting off and putting off and saying, "Some more convenient time I will turn to God after I've had my life full of sin and pleasure." Don't be foolish. For there was a man that Jesus spoke about in the Bible who had much laid up for many years. And he didn't have enough room to store all the stuff he had, and so he made bigger places and warehouses, and he put all the stuff in those places. And he was quite content to step back and say, "Oh, I have so much laid up for many years. I will take mine ease. I will eat, drink, and be merry, and just enjoy life. I will party. I will have fun." And God came to that man and said, "Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee." And then where will you be? What will you do then? You will have no song of thanksgiving then. You'll have no song of praise and worship to the Lord then. Oh, you will bow before Him, all right. But it will be a submission. A submission of judgment. Oh, the great blessing of coming to Him now while you can, of giving your heart to the Lord now, of saying, "Lord, I need to be saved. And friend, if you were to acknowledge that humbly in your heart and simply open your soul to the Lord and say, God, be merciful to me, the sinner, the Lord will hear your prayer. He will save you. He will save you, and then you will be able to say, as Moses did, God is my salvation, because He belongs to you personally, because you then would belong to Him, and your sins have been taken away, washed away by God's gracious working through Christ. And you will know then your life on a new course, a new direction, under new ownership. You will know then yourself being released from all your sin and depraved heart. And yes, you will begin on the road then. The road of life. The road of joy. The road of peace. The road of fulfilling God's purpose in your life. And no, it will not be an easy road that you're on. But it will be a road that you have the company of your Savior. It will be the road when Christ is holding on to your arm and your hand, and He is leading you every step of the way, through thick and thin, through hard days and tough times, through sickness and times of strength. Yes, friend, I wonder today if you can enter in and give thanks to the Lord for so great salvation. You know, sometimes people think, well, if I was to come to the Lord, I'd not be able to keep my salvation, and then my friends would end up mocking me or laughing at me, or I would just drift away. Well, the fact is, friend, you're right in this point. You cannot keep your salvation, and if it was up to you, you would lose it the moment you had received it. But God has promised that if you come to Him, He will in no wise cast you out. And those, Jesus said, who are held in the hands of His heavenly Father, no power, no force in heaven or hell is able to pluck us out of our heavenly Father's hand. Because God is the one who keeps us. He secures us. We're kept by Him, not by us. And so, friend, don't worry. If you come to the Lord, you think, I'll not be able to keep it. You entrust that to the Lord. He will keep you. That's exactly what the apostles spoke of. We are kept by the power of God. And then in that keeping, we will proceed forward every step of the way. Ah, friend, if life has taken over you and it's caught up in so many problems and issues and you think there's no way out and no hope, there is hope in Christ. I say that to you today with all my heart. Yield your heart to Him. Bow your soul to the living God. And you will be able to say, He is my redemption. He is my salvation and deliverance. He has purchased me. And today I know I'm alive in Him and alive forevermore. Let's bow, please, in prayer. Friend, today, if the Lord has been speaking to your heart, don't delay. Speak to me at the door if you would like some help. But you know, you don't need a pastor. You don't need anyone else. You just need to come to the Lord in your own heart and ask Him to forgive your sin and ask the Lord to come into your heart and save you. It's as simple as that. And as you pray with all your meaning and all your heart, He will hear. Lord, work, we pray, effectually in hearts today. Save precious souls, we ask. May that song of worship and thanksgiving be echoing out of many hearts today. Hear our prayers. Part us now in your fear and with your rich and mighty blessing. We pray in Jesus' holy name. Amen.